Hello friends, welcome once again to this very interesting topic on foreign exchange management. In the first chapter, we saw about the basic meaning of foreign exchange, the various players in the foreign exchange market, and in this chapter, we are going to understand about the exchange rate. The exchange rate we saw is very important when it comes to international trade. However, you will be getting a very good description about the evolution of the exchange rate right from the time the trade in terms of foreign exchange started and till the present times. The learning objectives of this chapter is to understand the concept of exchange rate and its evolution. We'll also understand the different milestones that are actually achieved in this evolution of exchange rate, as well as the drawbacks of its individual types. And because of the drawbacks, the refinement happened and we got an improvisation in the exchange rate. We'll also understand what is the International Monetary Fund and describes its aims. When we talk about IMF, we also understand the World Bank and the importance of World Bank in terms of the international trade, especially when it comes to dealing in foreign exchange between the countries. We'll also identify the various foreign exchange systems. So let's begin with some basic work before entering into the evolution of the foreign exchange. The growth of international trade is the topmost reason for the evolution of foreign exchange. The buyer has to pay the currency of his country. However, the seller wants to receive the payment in his currency, and that's where the requirement of exchange rate comes. And this exchange rate is dynamic because it purely depends on the demand and supply, the value of the currency, the purchasing power of individual currency, and based on that, when it becomes the transaction between different players in the global market, it not only becomes dynamic but complex also. The rates changes from minutes to minutes, hours to hours, day to day, and months to months. And one has to balance this changes that are happening while executing their deal. The basic dependence on supply and demand for currency happens in case of the growth of the international trade. If there is a demand for a currency, the value of the currency will go up. If there is no demand, the currency depreciates, and then it becomes very difficult for importing the essential goods in that country. Now let's understand how did the exchange rate actually evolve. We have seen right from the ancient times, the countries have been trading with each other, and they had their own way of exchanging. The value of the currency kept on taking different forms. Before invention of money, the medium of exchange was barter. And when we talk of barter, it simply means exchange of goods and services rather than actually currency in the form of coins or even the paper currency. When we talk in terms of barter, it had certain deficiencies because certain goods were exchanged for certain goods. That doesn't mean that those goods were required in totality. That does not mean that the same amount of goods were actually exchanged for the same amount of goods. So there was no unit of exchange. The exchange of currency necessitated an exchange rate. So to establish a fair rate between exchange of actually goods and services, the necessity of an exchange rate came into the picture. When we talk in terms of the first trace of the foreign exchange, it comes to our mind about the coins which came into use about 4,000 years ago. The coins came into use bearing the stamp of a banker or a merchant or a king. The use of monetary metal became commonplace in international trade. And when we talk about these metals, this could have important metals such as the gold, the silver, the bronze, and that would be actually composing the coin, and based on that, the marks on the coin would add value to the coin. Initially, value was determined according to the value of the metals in the coins, and later the coins in circulation increased. So the pure way of understanding the value of the coin was in terms of the percentage of the metal, the type of metal in the coins. Then the confidence in their value as a medium of exchange grew. When certain types of coin became circulated over a period of time, they got an established stamp of a medium of store and value. The professional money changers exchanged certain coins basis on their confidence in the type of coins they used to exchange, and this actually originated a crude form of foreign exchange trading. So when we talk in terms of foreign exchange trading, it was not possible for exchanging huge amount of goods and services like those existed in the barter system. But the coins exchange basis on the metals in the coins, that gave rise to a crude form of foreign exchange trading. And this is what we are talking about 4,000 years ago. Before we actually enter into proper eras, like when we talk about 4,000 years ago, we are now directly entering into the Roman Empire. Why we are entering into the Roman Empire? Because the collapse of Roman Empire marked some important impact on the foreign exchange. And what is that impact? The frequency of foreign exchange transactions declined because of the unstable financial and political conditions. However, by the 11th century, money changing was back in vogue. And this is what we see. Some proper tracking of foreign exchange came into place in the 11th century after the collapse of the Roman Empire. And this not only brought into track the foreign exchange actual transactions, it also evolved the international merchant banking. Because when we saw that people could not actually deal in foreign exchange on their own, they were helped by the merchant bankers who had an arrangement either in their own country or in their foreign country with their branches or some other bank. The international trade and capital flows increased, and this was actually managed by these international merchant banks. Physical exchange of coins became less and less practical. The arrangement between these merchant banks helped the smooth flow of capital from one place to another. To meet the increase in international commerce, international merchant banking proved as a big boon for the traders as well as the countries who deal in foreign exchange. By this time, the countries had their own currencies. Like England had the pound, France had the franc, and this also had in the they also had in the form of gold and silver coins. Currencies became exchanged from one to another, and there arose the need of an exchange rates at which one currency could be changed to another. When we talk in terms of the century, the first foreign exchange transaction seems to have happened in the 16th century. Likewise, the first foreign exchange market seems to have got established in the 17th century. Likewise, we had a solid standard in the form of gold standard getting established in somewhere around 19th century. Before that, the central bank, the first central banks got established in the 18th century. So these specifically are the milestones after the 11th century, 16th century for the first foreign exchange transaction, 17th century for the first foreign exchange market, 18th century for the first central banks, 19th century for gold standard. That means some fixed value of gold was actually pegged with a particular currency, and that established the value of a currency in the form of gold that needs to be written for that particular currency. So now this brings us directly to the 19th century, wherein the gold standard was established. Initially, all currencies were based on the gold standard. Currency note, if submitted to the central bank, could be converted into the gold. So that's what is the meaning of gold standard. The currencies were pegged with the gold. The currency was actually bearing some value in the form of gold, and whenever it was exchanged, it could get converted into that particular proportion of gold. Exchange rate between the currencies were frozen based on the gold exchange standard, and this system was followed till the outbreak of World War I. Why say till the outbreak of World War I? Because after the World War, the total scenario got changed when we talk in terms of the foreign exchange market. However, with values depreciating and deficit financing, the uncontrolled printing of notes, because what was happening, since countries had their own currencies, they used to print large number of notes and keep it in circulation. But when it came to the gold that needs to be returned, they did not have adequate gold in terms of the number of currency notes that were printed. Gold was a means of international settlements for receipts and payments, because the gold standard clearly established the currency had to have a proper value in terms of the gold that needs to be converted. The specific criteria for a country to be on gold standard was the central bank agreed to buy back the currency at a certain rate for gold. The melting point or the melting down of gold was freely allowed. There was unrestricted import and export of gold, and the total money supply in the country was determined by the quantum of gold reserves in the country. So gold became a very, very important aspect for deciding the value of currency and in turn the foreign exchange. Now, when we were talking in terms of the gold, there was something called the mint parity theory of exchange rate. Essential currencies under the gold standard could be exchanged freely. The value was determined on the gold containing the currency. This is what we saw in the previous slide. That was the specific aspect of the gold standard. If the content of the dollar was, say, 10 times that of the rupee, then the US dollar one was equivalent to rupees 10. So this is what we call in terms of the mint parity of exchange rate. The parity of the currency will be in terms of what value it actually has earned over a period of time. And that's what is reflected in the example of a dollar in terms of rupee. So this was known as the mint parity of exchange rates. A paper currency could be converted to gold at any time. It was not expected that all the holders of paper currency require gold at the same time, and that was the philosophy behind printing of currencies, and it got printed to a larger extent without keeping the adequate number of gold reserves for the eventuality of it getting converted into or to be given back in the form of gold. And hence the amount of gold required to back the paper currency was not large, and this actually started posing serious problems to the gold standard. And whenever there was a deficit, some adjustments were required to be made into the interest rate. The modest reserve worked. The amount of the gold required to back the currency was not large. The interest rate was adjusted to offset the demand for gold, because whenever the interest rates was increased, the foreign currency could come into the country and the gold outflow would cause a reduction in the domestic money supply. When there was an outflow of reserves, the rediscount rate on commercial paper was raised, which in turn attracted new deposits, and raising interest resulted in the inflow of capital. So the inflow and the outflow of capital could very well be adjusted with the help of interest rate. And with the help of these interest rate corrections, for the balance event could happen. A fall in the level of economic activity would cause the prices to fall. A fall in prices would make the exports cheaper and produce a positive trade balance. There would thus be an inflow of gold, and this would restore the balance of payment equilibrium. as I said before, as the notes got printed without any control and the equivalent amount of gold was not kept as a reserve, it started posing serious problems for the gold standard. The gold standard was too inflexible. The domestic economy could not be shielded from the pressures imposed upon it. The gold system was also unable to handle and absorb large and sudden disequilibrium situations, and this created a base for the collapse of the gold standard. And this was the main reason the gold standard continued till World War I, and after World War I, the gold standard was abandoned. There were attempts to revive it, but it failed. And the basic reason for the abandonment of gold standard was the tremendous depression that happened in the 1930-31, the devaluation of the pound sterling, and especially the abandoning of the gold standard by the euro. The gold standard tried to bring some stability that was introduced in the 19th century. However, we saw there were various reasons for the collapse of the gold standard. So what happened after the collapse? After the collapse of the gold standard, the exchange rate began to be determined on the basis of purchasing power parity. Now, what do you mean by purchasing power parity? The rate of currency would depend upon what it can buy domestically. So when two currencies are considered, the parity would get established on the basis of what each currency would buy a particular commodity. Like a currency for buying a TV in one country would be compared to the currency buying the same TV in another country. So this was the basis of purchasing power parity. Dr. Gustav Kessel propounded the purchasing power parity in 1918. He submitted that the values of the currencies must be based on what it can buy domestically. And the second point he submitted was the rate should be such that the purchasing power of two currencies, as reflected by its purchasing power, is identical. Let's understand this with a beautiful example. Say a television cost Japanese yen 10,000 in Japan, and the same TV costs, say, US dollars 100 in United States. So here the commonality is the television, but because of the difference in the value of currency, different units of currency needs to be expended. So if 10,000 Japanese yen is equivalent to US dollar 100, that brings us to a clear equation of one US dollar would be equivalent to Japanese yen 100. And this is how the purchasing power parity describes the rate of currencies between two countries based on the purchasing power of the commodities existing in different countries. Now, when we talked about purchasing power parity, it was a new concept and it could work for a certain period. But the problem was the World War played a serious havoc with the economies of most countries. In the 1930s, there was severe depression and unemployment. There were large adverse balance of payments, and countries could not find ways of creating sources of foreign exchange, and that's the reason the balance of payment was becoming worse and worse. One only thing that they could do is to devalue their currencies, but the devalue of currency further worsened their economy, and that brought to a new type of arrangement in the form of Bretton Woods Conference. Since goods did not become cheaper, exports did not grow, international trade came to a standstill, and to discuss this serious problem, in 1944, in Bretton Woods Conference, United States made a proposal in the Bretton Woods Conference and that was accepted to provide some stability to the countries, especially when it came to international trade, especially when it came to improvisation in the value of their currency. So what was the outcome of the Bretton Woods Conference? One important outcome of the Bretton Woods Conference was the establishment of international organizations such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. The World Bank and International Monetary Fund was established for specific purpose for uplifting the economy, for helping the poorer economies, for helping the businesses, for getting loans from some international organizations at a very cheaper rate, at a longer tenure. Countries had to maintain their exchange rates relative to the dollar without sacrificing the domestic growth, provided much more latitude in managing the individual country's economy. IMF and other central banks' loans were provided to buy back the country's currencies in the open market, and this supported the exchange rate. So in the present context, what a central bank does, that was the major role of IMF, to help out the countries whose currencies were depleting. However, the system was flawed as it depended on the confidence in the US dollars, and when the US began to develop payment problems and trade deficits, the lot lost confidence, and eventually the Bretton Woods arrangement also got serious threats. And basis on this, the Bretton Woods system collapsed. And what were the reasons? Number one, the world liquidity measured in terms of the aggregate reserves of member countries was not keeping pace with the growth in the world trade. The fixed rate system was rigid and adjustments in fair values could not be done quickly. Regular and continuous adverse balance of payments in the United States eroded the confidence in the US's ability to convert the dollars into gold. The Bretton Woods also collapsed because of the inflation and the trade deficits that led to United States declaring in 1971 that it would no longer convert the dollars into gold. Other countries held their currencies float, and this brought an end to the parities as well as the Bretton Woods system.